Tarp, take two.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It is Team Obama's turn with the Troubled Asset Relief Program. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is set to lay out the administration's plan this morning. We're hearing part of it will include a so-called bad bank, one that will pull together a lot of toxic assets. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now from New York. Jeremy, what are we likely to hear in this announcement?
Well, it sounds like there will be more capital injections into banks, at least banks that are healthy enough to lend. There's reportedly going to be a major expansion of the $200 billion program that's designed to unfreeze the credit markets. And the big question, that bad bank. It sounds like there will be a bad bank initially financed by the Federal Reserve, but the idea will be to get some private players, hedge funds and private equity firms in to actually take on some of these assets and possibly to sweeten the deal for the private players. There may well be guarantees against losses on those assets.
And we're talking about a lot of money. There's a lot of stuff included in this, right?
Right. And that's the point. The Obama administration wants this plan to be so big and so wide ranging that no one comes away at the end of the day saying it's not going to be enough.
And Jeremy, the New York Times is reporting there was this debate in the Obama administration about stricter limits on executive compensation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. And the Times says that Treasury Secretary Geithner was actually against the idea of stricter executive compensation limits, saying that if there are stricter limits, if the government gets too involved, it's going to be too expensive and the whole thing won't work. The Times says that means not only will there not be stricter executive compensation requirements, but also that none of the people at the top of these banks will be replaced. And perhaps most puzzlingly, Steve, the government won't tell the banks how to use the money they're getting, according to the Times. And I guess we'll find out what that's all about at 11.
Yeah, we shall see. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Swiss bank UBS this morning says it lost $7.5 billion in the last quarter. A lot of write-downs, a lot of big money being pulled, and the losses will cost jobs, 2,000 of them. Bonuses are getting the axe, too. Europe's trading lower this morning. London, Frankfurt, and Paris are off by less than 1%. Asian markets closed mixed. Hong Kong up, Japan down. Yesterday, Dow and NASDAQ shares ended flat but down. S&P shares rose just a tad. Today, Congress looks at a renewable energy proposal. It would require utilities to tap more into alternative sources, such as wind and solar. At least half the states have some mandates already in place. But creating a single national policy, well, it could be pretty tough. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The proposed standard would require utilities to generate 20% of their power from renewable sources within 12 years. It covers everything from biomass to geothermal to wind and solar. Nathaniel Green with the Natural Resources Defense Council says the U.S. has an abundance of renewable energy. It just needs the right incentives to tap it.
This sort of a federal policy will get us out there, get us developing these projects, get this resource into the marketplace, and it's the only way really to make sure we really get it into the marketplace quickly.
But at what cost? David Wright heads the Southeastern Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners.
All states and certainly all regions are not the same.
Wright says coal-dependent southeastern states don't have sufficient wind and solar resources to meet the mandates. That means either paying fines or buying renewable energy credits from other states. Either way, he says ratepayers will bear the costs. Environmentalists disagree. They say the Southeast has ample biomass resources to meet the mandate. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Well, in this economic fallout, it seems like everyone's consumed with whether they'll keep their jobs or their homes. Maybe they're thinking about retirement or the kids' college education. There's one school in London that's cashing in by asking the really big questions. Our story now from Christopher Worth.
Would you like to come and sit down?
At the new School of Life in London, Anne Braben's course on work is completely full.
Gather together. I think there'll be two groups of six, the rest of fives.
The course is meant to help people who still have jobs get more out of their working lives by exploring the meaning of, well, life.
What we're concerned with here at the School of Life is the most enduring question of all, how should I live?
That's Sophie Howarth, the school's director. She opened her doors last fall. Her courses are fully booked through the spring. The work course runs over a weekend and costs about $300. The School of Life also offers classes on everything from love to politics and other meaningful topics. Will Brimmer is a bartender, and he traveled 300 miles to be here.
It is a long way to come, but it's quite interesting to spend a weekend looking at what drives you and where you see yourself going.
Class members write out their main career goals, like newspaper headlines, and then they're posted around the classroom.
My headline is, I'd like to know what I want to achieve.
Just because people are grateful to still be employed, the larger questions don't necessarily go away. Alice Driscoll isn't planning on leaving her advertising career anytime soon, but...
There is something in the back of my head, and I've got this feeling that I know I want to experience something else.
If that something else is philosophy or beekeeping, she's in the right place. The School of Life can even rent you experts in a number of professions by the hour.
So if you're ready to see the beekeeper, he'll show you the bees. If you're ready to meet the philosopher, it's more likely to be sitting in a cafe over a cup of coffee.
At the end of the day, everyone piles into taxis and heads off to dinner at a small furniture-making factory on the other side of town.
We use the whole city like a guerrilla campus to kind of explore the work that other people are doing.
And lucky enough for Howarth, pondering life's big questions is proving to be recession-proof. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And share your thoughts on life or just check the numbers and catch our new online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.